So since after our Christmas break, we've been looking at great gifts that God gives us, and they are words that outside of the Bible we really don't use very often. Sanctification, reconciliation, righteousness, and a few other words, justification. And today I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this concept of reconciliation. Now, I like the word righteousness because Paul is writing to a church in Rome. And it's a combination of both Jewish Christians, Gentile Christians. The Jewish Christians are very familiar with the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And they're very aware of the prophets and everything that the prophets have taught. They're very aware of the Psalms. But many Gentile Christians aren't. They were not raised that way, and that being introduced to Christ is really the only thing they know. They don't have any background, at least many people don't have many background as far as that history. And they've heard probably of people named Abraham and Esau and a few of these things. And many of the Jewish Christians in Rome, I think, are helping to teach some of the Gentile Christians in Rome. But it's a bit different church. Because this church in Rome is so brand new that it's very much a Gentile church with Jewish Christians. And so they're learning and they're trying to grab concepts. And I say to Paul, do you really want to use these big words to people who've never had any idea as to anything, let alone being introduced to Christ? Because they are words that are profound in meaning. And I think even as we try to identify these words, I just come up short. It's like there's so much more to every one of these words. For example, the word justification, we've often said, well, it's just as if we never sinned. Well, just strike that off. That, of course we've sinned. It's because we've sinned that God makes it just. In other words, he sees the penalty of our sins, but because of Jesus, he doesn't see the sin. And that word righteous. It's a beautiful word. And I know that I've talked about this several times, but to me it's really, really important. The word righteousness, that we're made righteous by our faith in Christ Jesus. But what does it really mean? And for me, I always want to go back to the baptism of Jesus, where Jesus was baptized. And you may know the story, because he comes to John the Baptist and he says, you need to baptize me. And John says, no. You need to baptize me, John says. He goes, no. Jesus said, no, you need to baptize me because this will fulfill all righteousness. Meaning, it's putting things to right. It's making things right. And Paul, in this wonderful book, is reminding me, sorry, I've got a bit of a problem here. Hope that'll stick on. If not, I'll have to go back to the mic. What Paul is trying to say is that because of Christ, he's done everything for us. But not only that, he's pouring himself out into our lives and giving us great gifts. So we're looking at these words to say, these are amazing gifts God gives us simply because he loves us. And so in Romans, we have these words, and he shares with us. And today, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the word reconciliation. Now, honestly, in the past week, have you used that word? I mean, these are words that we don't use very often, reconcile. But I think we know what it means. Let me go this way. A number of years ago, South Africa was going through a horrible, horrible time. Some of you know. You witnessed, you were part of it. And there was a man by the name of Desmond Tutu who created what was called the Truth and Reconciliation Council, where basically what the Truth and Reconciliation Council is this. We are going to lay all the cards on the table. We're going to speak the truth. We're going to tell the truth of prejudice, of oppression, of prison, of all of these horrible things that have taken place, and we're going to lay them all on the table. We're not going to mince words. We're going to be honest. We're going to speak the truth. And then what we want to do is we want to be reconciled to one another. We want no more division. We want to be one. And that's huge. And it wasn't easy, but it was huge. How many of you remember when the Berlin Wall came down? Just raise your hand if you remember. I still have this picture in my mind of Ronald Reagan standing up and saying, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Well, for us on this side, we go, "Isn't it great?" But there was a cost. On my wife, Barb, her family was caught when that wall went up, East and West Germany. And there was a great deal of fear, even trying to leave the East to go to the West, because your loved ones, some were here and some were there. And because of conflict, because of war, they couldn't get back and forth to one another. And so sometimes people tried. Sometimes, if you want to hear the story, I'd be glad to tell you, Barb could tell you even in greater detail, where Barb's father, long before Barb was born, had to get from East Germany into West Germany. He got underneath a train, put his arms around a very hot bar underneath the train, and escaped underneath the train into a free land. It costs. Many people died trying to get out of slavery into freedom. So when we talk about reconciliation, how much did it cost God to say, "You are reconciled with me. There is no division between us"? And so in Romans chapter 5, Paul talks about this. In fact, Paul, all throughout Romans, talks about the reconciliation between Jew and Gentile. And it seems strange to us, but one of the biggest ways that that prejudice demonstrated itself was when it came time for a church potluck, eating. Now, for those of us in Canada, eating is not such a big deal. We have lots of food we eat. But when churches would come together, when a church would come together, it wasn't just what you were eating. It's who would you eat with? Coming together, Jew and Gentile, separated for years, divided for years, and they wanted to be reconciled to one another. And we sit down and you have a Jewish person said, "I can't eat that pork. I can't eat that." And yet, somebody would say, "Well, that's okay. You don't have to eat that. Here's something else you can eat. Let's just be reconciled. Let's not make a dividing line, things that used to divide us. Let's pay the price to make it right." So if you've ever had a relationship with someone, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, or just a buddy, and something happened, and it's like, "I don't think we're ever going to get this right. I just don't think we're going to get this right." And so finally we say, "Let's make it right. Let's speak the truth. And if you're willing, let's forgive. Let's move forward." Good words, sometimes not easy to do. But let's be reconciled to one another. Let's make it right, righteousness, to make things right. And let's have faith in one another. Let's be honest with one another. Let's just speak the words of truth to one another and keep speaking truth, keep speaking love, keep speaking grace, keep speaking, "You are wonderful, I need you, I love you." Let's make it right. Let's grow. Let's develop in a way that it's never been developed before. And this is what Paul is saying to a church, some who know nothing about it, some who are fully engaged, and Paul is saying, "Look, here's what God gives us." If you want to follow in the Bible, I'm not going to be long today, so all preachers say. In Romans chapter 5, I'd like us to look at these monumental words. Romans chapter 5. So Paul has been talking about the fact that we're considered righteous in the eyes of God. He does not hold our sin against us because of Christ. And all of this is because of our faith in Christ Jesus. And if there's any kind of emotion that you felt this morning when I was saying a few of these words, ramp it up even more. Because these words that Paul is writing, if you could picture in your mind somebody reading this for the very first time, it would blow them away. And so in Romans chapter 5, based on everything that Paul has already said about being justified and made righteous, he says in Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, based on all of this, we have been justified, not guilty, justified through our faith. We have to have faith in Christ, faith in one another, and we have peace with God. Have you ever had a relationship where you feel like you're walking on eggshells? I gotta be so careful what I say, or it's just gonna explode. He said, no, no, no. Here we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. So some of us have had some grandbabies lately. And sometimes babies just cry. And we do everything. We hug, we love, we kiss. We give them bottles. Sometimes babies will just cry. And after we've done everything we can, we just don't know what to do anymore. And then eventually, you can feel that baby in your arms do this. And there is peace. Now listen. In your own relationship with Christ, have you ever felt because that's how he feels about us. You are mine. You're reconciled. It's good. Know me better. I've come to bring peace, to enjoy it. And then he says something that is really unique. He talks about faith. He talks about hope. He talks about perseverance. He talks about character. But if you're reading, notice verse 5. Here's another gift. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So if this is the first time you've been here in this series, we also said at the very, very beginning, the greatest gift God gives us is himself. Three. Himself. Three. God gives us himself. Jesus Christ gives us himself. The Holy Spirit gives us himself. The gift. No one lives to himself alone. No one dies to himself alone. If we live, we live in the Lord. And if we die in the Lord. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us gift after gift after gift. And guess how many gifts God gives. They are innumerable. On a given day, the gifts God gives us, we often don't even see. And so in verse 6, he says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for us, the ungodly. And very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly bear to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were at our worst, God was at his best. And if you're a parent, you get that. Sometimes when our child has disappointed us so severely, and the child did something that you can't believe that child did, many of us parents know you just love them more. You just hold on to them more. You grab tight and you hold them close and say, come on, I'll help you. Let's do better. Isn't that the story of the prodigal son? It's the father waiting for the son. The son comes back and he said, I blew it in every way imaginable. And the father just says, let me hold you. Let me hold you. This is what God does for us, pouring himself out into our lives. And so he says, since we have been justified by his blood, while we were still enemies, we were reconciled. It's good to him through the son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So in other words, once we know these gifts God gives us, our lives need to increase, even to a greater degree, of letting Christ live in us. It's just a pleasure. It's not like you're trying so hard to measure up. Christ sees us as you already measure up. I've given myself for you. Now let's grow and help other people know more and more about Christ. And then he says, this is so cool, verse 11. Now, not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation, ongoing forever. Ongoing forever. This reconciliation is given as a gift through Jesus Christ. It's there. You and I, we're okay. Maybe we've had some division. We're going to be okay. It's this beautiful story that's there for us. In fact, many of the parables that are told by Jesus have this concept of relationships being made right, pulling back together. So let me conclude with this. The gift of God, his grace, his love, his forgiveness, what will it be like the first time we see God face to face? So we were here a couple days ago celebrating, mourning at the same time. Wonderful woman, Elsie House. She sees him face to face. She sees him face to face. Psalm 139, God knew us before we were born. He knew all the days ordained for us. Acts chapter 17, he knew the exact time and places in which we were born. And he comes to us and we return to him. No one lives to himself alone. No one dies to himself alone. If we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We belong to him. I think when we see him face to face, we will feel and say, this is where I belong because of him. But I picture this. We're standing before God. We are overwhelmed by everything he has done for us and gives us. And we have to ask him this question. How much did it cost you? You know, when someone gives you an amazing gift, it's just kind of impolite to say, cool, how much did it cost? No, we don't ask that question. Well, maybe we have, shouldn't. I mean, somebody gives you the most incredible gift. How much does it cost? Impolite, Donnie, don't ask that question. It's a gift. You don't ask that. It's a gift. But maybe we strike out. Maybe we say, God, I really want to know. The fact that I'm here with you face to face, the fact that you've been with me all of my life, the fact that you can you can remind me of everything that we've done together that I didn't even know you were part of. And he reviews our life, and it's just amazing. And he said, it's okay, let me just show you all throughout your life what happened, where you've been, but I want you to know I was always with you, and I want you to know that we're reconciled because of Christ Jesus. And because you believed it, because you have faith in me, because these gifts are all there, that as Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, you were too. When you have the sacraments, you're partaking of Christ. That's all fantastic. It's all great. But I want to know, we say to God, how much did it cost you? And I know the answer. And you do too. You really want to know? He says, it cost us everything. No, I want to know how much it cost you. No, there's no me. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How much did it cost me? It cost us everything. And if you were the only one who ever lived, we would do it again. It cost us everything. But we love you. You're reconciled to us. There's the motivation for us to say, he's always been with me. He always will. We know how much it cost them. So how do we want to live? We want to share these gifts that God gives us, knowing the cost, knowing that we've been reconciled to him through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you beyond words for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. We are amazed that you would give yourself to us, pouring yourself out into us, knowing what it cost, that it cost you everything. So may we spend a little bit of that cost by sharing these gifts with others. We thank you. Through Christ's name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.